Couple of weeks we're going to be doing different things, a Christmas play, and then we'll have our Christmas party, and then we'll have Christmas carol. We'll have a Christmas day, and I think we'll just have one service that day, but I think we're going to have communion service on Christmas Day. So come for that, and we'll probably do it just a little bit different, but not a whole lot different. Take your Bible, go to John chapter 1. I'm sitting here thinking about the book of John. John is written to clarify, to make sure that we know as believers that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that he is our prophet, priest, and king. Amen? When you read the book of John, when you understand, when you're reading it and looking at it, we tell people a lot of times when they first get saved, read the book of John. Why would you tell somebody that? You know, don't Matthew and Mark come before him and Luke? The book of John does something amazing. It tells you exactly who Jesus is. Because I am the way. He said, I am the truth, the life. I'm the door. Amen. I am the word. I am the resurrection. Tells you all these things about who Jesus is, and that's who he is to you. Then it tells you who you are in Christ Jesus, John chapter 3. Right? Ain't that amazing? And then you got to look at it for who wrote it. You understand it was written by the Holy Spirit, but you understand by the character who wrote it was John. He was the youngest. A lot of people sometimes describe him as young as 15. I don't know. If you jumped him up to 19 or 20, just put yourself at 19 or 20 years old. And you are handling the gospel of Jesus Christ. If the gospel wasn't real, I'm going to be honest with you. If what he's seen wasn't real, I think some of the older guys, but you're talking about a teenager who gets put under some scrutiny, some ridicule, some boiled in oil. I think they'd quit. I think they'd give up. I think they'd walk away. I think they'd say, that's crazy. It was good while it was good, but this ain't good. Amen? But we understand that John the Revelator was also the one who wrote the book of Revelation. Amen? It's kind of neat because the revelation that he's going to speak up tonight is God revealing Jesus as the Messiah. Amen? In the book of Revelation, Revelation is Jesus the second coming. Amen? I love this study. I love this understanding. This is a 12-verse message to get two verses out of it. That is preaching in itself. Amen? That's what preachers do. We try to preach two verses, and we'll take 12 verses just to do it. Amen? I want to get 14 in tonight, and only really two of them are what I'm going for, but I'm going to give you all 14 of them just because that's what we do. Amen? Because if I was just to give you those two, you'd leave here tonight and go, man, that was a good service. Hope he keeps them 10-minute sermons up. Amen? Y'all would start planning your whole lives around 10-minute sermons, and I can't let that happen. Not on my watch. Amen? Not on my watch. Amen. All right. This is if you don't know this, I'm going to tell this to you too. This is my favorite version of the Christmas story. Right here in John chapter 1. Some of y'all are going to kind of look at me sideways right here. You're going to say, wait a minute, I don't think the Christmas story's in John chapter 1. Oh, yes, it is. It's just a boiled down version of everything that was there. Amen? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word, what he's talking about, is Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Amen? And he said, in the beginning of what? Because guess what? That's kind of deceptive in its saying, in the beginning of what? What he's saying is, in the beginning of this world. In the beginning of this earth. He was God. Amen? But you know what? Jesus has always been. He's eternal. Amen? He's the expressed image of God. He is the expressed image of the Godhead. Amen? If you see the expressed image of God, you see God in a man form, that's Jesus. Whew. Some of you are going to say, when we get to heaven, how are we going to explain that? We'll need to be in heaven to explain it. Amen? But I believe it with all my heart because the Bible says it. Amen? That's all I need to know is they say all three are one and one are three. Hey, I'm all in with that. Amen? Verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. If you run into anybody, and I'm just going to straighten this out with you. If you run into anybody who are Genesis 1, 2, and 3 deniers, and they say, we just don't accept that part. I want to tell you straight up, how did they get over John chapter 1? Because John chapter 1 says everything in Genesis is right there. God made it all. I believe in a young earth. I believe in God's creation. I do not believe in anything else but what God's Word said. Some people will say, well, you're closed-minded. You're narrow-minded. They said, I'm not narrow-minded. I'm just Bible-minded. I think it backs it up. I'm glad of that. When the whole world's running around for answers for everything, I've got them. Amen? When people are saying, how can this and how can that? I'm sitting there going, because God said. Amen? And if God created it and God destroyed it once, God can destroy it again. Everybody's talking right now in our lifetimes. All they want to speak of is, we've got to be watching out for global warming. God, global warming. That is an absolute fact. But it ain't going to happen the way the world says it's going to happen. God said, in the end, I will destroy this earth by fire. I will do it. So you ain't got to worry how it's going to end. God will destroy this earth by fire. It will not be destroyed by a man. Some of y'all are worried, man, I hope they don't do this, and I hope they don't do that. That's not what the book says. The Bible says God comes down and says, I have had enough. Some of y'all are thinking, what about the wars? What about this country and that country? I love the book of Revelations, but praise God, I don't read it in fear. I read it from victory. Because when all those nations get together and say, we're going to destroy God's people and we're going to run the earth and the world, God comes down with us and said, the fight is over. We're a part of that army. We'll be there in the battle and won't have to do a thing because we won already. Man, y'all, have you read the book and how it ends? I hear some Christians sometimes talking about, oh my goodness, it's good. So praise this about going home time. I don't know what you're scared about unless you're not saved. And if you're not saved, get that figured out. When God comes and the trump sounds, let's go up into the sky and let's spend the rest of eternity worshiping God with the people we love. I ain't got a death wish, but praise God, I don't sit around worrying about God's part of it. I worry about my grandkids and how bad it's going to get. But I don't sit around going, I wonder how it's all going to go. I'm sitting there going, man, if they keep messing around, God's going to just pop outside the Eastern Gate and it's going to be, poof, it's going to be over. Golly, y'all don't believe what I'm preaching. How many times would you have to watch somebody pick on your bride before you'd step in? Oh, well, there we go. That's another different question, ain't it? We are the bride of Christ. The voice of the martyrs cries off the altar in heaven saying, how long will you wait? Goodness gracious, I wish we had a couple of dudes in here. I'm telling you right now. Hey, could you imagine your bride going, what are you going to do about it? He's just been wearing me out. He's been punching me in the face. Getting me in the He's been wearing me out. When are you going to do something? I can just hear God now. You just wait. I'm coming. Boy, have y'all ever watched Little House on the Prairie? Anything like, have you ever watched Little House on the Prairie? Hey, you ever remember when there were episodes when the family was in real bad trouble with somebody and it was getting real bad? I'm going to just lay it out. And all of a sudden you knew Charles Ingalls was on the way. Amen. You know what I mean? You was in one of them episodes where you was hoping that the bad guy, like, I hope he sticks around for a few more minutes because here comes Charles Ingalls, and you knew what was going to happen then. Right? He is going to wear them out. Amen? That's our God. That's how God one day, man, he's going to step on the scene. And I'm just sitting here on the sideline going, "You, man, y'all wait. Y'all got it. Y'all think you're winning. You think you're snuffing out God. It might be that way in some little regions, some little areas, but praise God, there are people around this world who are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And when the last one comes, Jesus will come. Boy, I'm excited about it. I'm not worried about it. I'm excited about it. Can I preach another step forward on that? If he came the way he said he was going to come, and it died the way he said he was going to die, and guess what? He's going to come back the way he said he was going to come back. Praise God, that the book of Isaiah's got the first coming, the death, and the second coming of Jesus Christ written in the book of Isaiah. And it's detailed. Daniel, detailed. So praise God, we're sitting here going, I wonder how, but it's going to come down like that. I love that I serve a God who does it all. If God created it all, and I'm in a part of that creation, He knows how to get everything he needs to get out of my life and yours. Some of y'all need to start living life to the full. That means living for Jesus Christ with your whole life until he comes back, and you'll be satisfied with that. Oh, man, I could stop preaching already. I didn't even think I was going to preach this hard, Charlie. I was really sitting here not thinking, man, this is going to be a snooze fest. It's not. Verse 4, right? In him was life. And the life was the light of men. That's what light says. He put the Spirit of God, he put the Spirit of life in us. And the light shineth into the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That's good. Amen. Jesus shows up on the scene, and he comes into a dark world. That means our spiritual darkness. And guess what? It didn't even recognize him. Don't recognize him. That's all right. That's all right. Guess what? When he turns the light on, amen, when we step out of our darkness into his marvelous light, praise God, it's good, ain't it? Amen? It's good. That's not what I... Let's go to verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. John the Baptist, this is John the Revelator who wrote the book. This is John the Baptist who he speaks of. I love John the Baptist's ministry. It should be similar to ours. He had the message of repentance. That was his whole ministry, was the ministry of repentance. But what I loved about him is all he did was become a reflector of Jesus. Are you the Messiah? Are you the Savior? He said, I am not him. I am projecting to the one who is. I will take the light and shine it on him. When he shows up, when he appears, when he's around, I will decrease and he will increase. That is one of my favorite prayers in the Bible. Amen? Let me decrease as he increases. If you don't have that one in your repertoire, you need to get it. And you say, when do you use it? When there's more of you than there is of God in the operation. Good God, I could stay right there. I could put some plows down right there and just run around the field a couple times. Amen? When we're having a difficult situation with our spouses, amen? When we're arguing back and forth, maybe that'd be a good time to pray that prayer. God, let me decrease and you increase. You know what that sound like in actual, when you make it apply? It's going to sound something like this. I surrender. I surrender my argument. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. Will you please forgive me? I'm going to be silent for a while. Whew. How about when we're on the job and we're acting a fool in front of the whole world, but we're supposed to be believers and everybody's looking at us going, that person right there just invited me to church a couple months ago, a couple weeks ago, or a couple days ago, and look at how they're acting. Whew. Lord, let me decrease as you increase. What does that look like? You want to be strength? Go up to somebody and say, look, I know I invited you to church, and I know I've been, my behavior's kind of told on me here at work, but I'm sorry. God's still working on me, but I need you to forgive me too. I don't mean to act that way. Whew, good Lord. This thing's turned into a pretty good old message. I might have to write this one down. But what a great ministry when they come to John. John's just like, are you him? No. Hey, I heard that he's baptized more people than you've baptized. Great. Great. God's a bigger God than I am. He's the bigger one. He's the one I'm here to magnify. Matter of fact, if I dry up and I don't baptize nobody else and God does, I'm good. Hey, man, ain't that good? What a great attitude. That's what we should be doing. We should be spotlighting Jesus Christ in our lives. I'll preach on John the Baptist in the next segment when we come back from these holiday situation here. Verse 9, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Man, ain't that something? Is that not contrary to everything? When you're God, and you're walking around, and people are questioning everything you've done, and you don't just wear them out. Here's my favorite scene in that. When I think about this, is when Jesus is hanging on the cross. The priest and the Pharisees walk by, and they're ridiculing and making fun of him, and they say this statement right here. You saved others, save yourself. Man, I mean, I think how I am. You got to believe he's tired, he's wounded, he's hurt. Man, at any point he could have said, I'm through with this. And he does. He stays on that cross. And what the funny part of that is, he doesn't just die for the sins of the whole world of people who got saved. He died for the person who said that. The person who said that. Wouldn't it be amazing if we get to heaven and the person who said, you saved others, take yourself off the cross. Wouldn't it be funny if just a few weeks later he came to Christ? Wouldn't it be amazing if one of those people said, I beat him unrecognizable and I accepted who he was. Because I'm standing here before you. I cursed God. I ridiculed God. And God saved me. Everybody sitting in this room, our sins held him to that cross. We crucified Christ. We didn't have a chance. And he came into the world, and there was a period of time in our lives that we didn't even know who he was. Do y'all remember the first time you seen him? I'm going to preach everything I know. I already feel it. Do you remember the first time when you really got it? Man, I remember I was sitting at Chatsworth Joy. I remember. Fell in the floor. I can see who he was. But when I read these scriptures, I see that thief on the cross. Good God. I want to see that, Charlie. If they have HD in heaven, I want to see that moment. You know how they do in the football games now? They got it down to the point where they're like, ch-ch-ch-ch, where he catches it, don't catches it, controls it, don't control it. Are y'all with me? Some of you guys say amen every once in a while. Act like you got a pulse or something. Wouldn't that be good if they had a close-up of that thief who got saved on the cross when he goes, you know, I know he didn't move his hands. Don't be critical. But you know what I mean? Could you, when he just was like, here we are, and God is on a cross next to me. That's no different than ours. We were going through this world, not recognizing the God of this world, and he woke us up out. He got us out of our darkness. Man, Jesus, for 33 years, but 3 years of ministry, walked around the face of the planet doing stuff that nobody could ever imagine, and nobody would believe him. Donnie, sometimes I wonder if Jesus came back today in modern churches, if people would accept him or reject him. I wonder if one Sunday he walked into our church. If we'd be like, I don't know if we want to let this guy preach or not. What if he healed everybody in the room? Would we be upset? Would we be excited? Ooh, I wonder. Would we be scared out of our mind? Man, that's something, ain't it? But he came into the world, and the world didn't even know him. The world that he created, the people that he created, the things that he designed, the thing that he breathed life into. I'm glad he puts up with a lot. Anybody else sitting in here just looking at this going, man, I'm glad he's God and I'm not. He sure does have a lot of grace and mercy. When I came up, when I was 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, when I came up in church, you would think God was a big God who was keeping score. If he was keeping score, we wouldn't win. If he was that mean, I wouldn't stand a chance. Who knew God's grace and mercy is fresh every day? Whew. He never runs out. I'm glad to know that God's grace doesn't run out on me. His mercy doesn't run out on me. He was long-suffering. Boy, long-suffering. Man, that's a loving God. He came unto his own, and his own received him. No, that's the Jewish people. They were worshiping a God, but it was standing on the hoof right in front of them, and they wouldn't worship him. Y'all have heard me preach this. I don't mind to do it over and over because I love the story. Riding by the temple, right before the crucifixion, riding on the back of the donkey. Hosanna, Hosanna, save now. All of a sudden, the Jewish Pharisees, they come out, tell them to stop worshiping. We're in the temple trying to worship God. And then he says something that blows us all away. If they hold their peace, the very rocks will cry out. You know what God could replace you with? Rock. I hope he don't. I hope he don't. I hope he can get more use out of us than he does a rock. Man, that's good. Jesus is going to get worshiped that day. For who he was. Because in that very same week, he was going to be hearing crucify, crucify. Man, that's so good. He come unto his own. His own received him not, but as many received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believed on his name. Have you believed? If you believed on his name and you believe in who he is, you are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Whew, glory to God. I don't mind being Ronnie and Linda Shelton's son. I don't mind that. But I'm going to tell you right now, I never thought I'd be the son of God. I never thought I'd be an adopted heir to the King of Glory. Whew, man, I knew a little old lady that got saved in the Chicken House Revival. Amen. They used to, back in the day, they'd have revivals in chicken houses. They'd put sawdust down, cover up stuff. Amen. And she would get happy in church every time we'd have revival, and she'd get to shouting, and she would say, look what I've traded for a mansion in glory. I got saved in the chicken house floor in Northwest Georgia. I'm going from the chicken house to glory. Amen. She'd get excited every time. Say, I can't believe God chose me out of a chicken house to move into glory in a mansion he has made for me. One day, not long from now. Amen. Sons and daughters. Adopted heirs. I got to thinking about that when I was reading this. Adopted too. You know what I love about adopted? Know it all. Know it all. You know, when you adopted, a lot of kids who get adopted nowadays, you know what they got in their system? Drugs. They've been in the womb, and drugs have been in their system. Got them. And the parents will look at them and say, well, we're going to adopt, but we don't know what kind of trouble they could be down the road, medically, physically, emotionally. Not only do they have their natural stuff, but we don't know what could happen to them. You know what the adopted parent says? Not take them anyway. Love them anyway. Pay for it anyway. Take care of it anyway. Cross that bridge when we get to it anyway. Amen? You know, God, I'm preaching better than y'all letting on right there. You know, God looked at us. Hey, I know y'all are superstar Christians, but praise God. He knew what you was going to be like after you got saved. He knew the trouble you was going to be. He knew everything about you and went, I'll take him. Well, I'll take her. I'll take her. We ain't a running church. I know that. But does anybody else feel like taking a lap right there? Goodness. I'm telling you right now, I had some wild days before I got saved. But praise God, God's loved me through some stuff since I got saved. I mean some stuff that, praise God, I'd have been like, Kevin, you on the bench. You ain't never getting up off the bench. Your attitude, your everything. Go, boy, let's just say this, everything. Whew, man, this is a better message than I thought. Which were born not of the blood, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. You were born again of God. Here's the verse that I come to preach with the first verse. And I ain't even going to preach that long out of this verse. Now that I've preached for 45 minutes on the other stuff. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know what John said? I spent 3 years with him. Every day, every night, going through the worst places all the way up. I watched him be crucified. And I was sitting at his feet when he took his last breath. When he looked down and said, that's your mama now. You take care of her. Amen? You know what he's saying? That's the Son of God. God stepped out of the universe. He stepped out of eternity, wrapped himself in flesh, and dwelt among us. And I don't know how, and I don't know why, and I don't know why I got to be a part of it, but He did. You know what He said? You watch my life, you listen to my words, I'm telling you, with somebody with a 3-year experience, He is God. Whew. I've told you this before and you've heard it before. Every time in the Bible, John refers to himself as the person in whom God loves. You'll see that when we go through the book of John, in whom God loved. If you walked into a room, He would be laying on the breastplate of Christ. I don't care who you are as a man, that is not manly. If you had 12 men in a room and you walked in and there would be a guy laying on the other guy's chest, you would kind of go, huh. Right? But this young man, somewhere along the line, went, I don't know who you think He is, but this is God. And I don't have to be across the room when I can be as close as I can get. When he attached that ear to the breastplate of Christ, all he could hear, sis, all he could hear is, I love you. There's a lot of times I think God says, man, I'm not this or not. But you know what it really comes out? I love you. So here's the Christmas story in two verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Christmas story in two verses. God became a man and dwelt among us. And when he dwelt among us, he came and died for us, that we might have a way into heaven through his shed blood at Calvary. And if we will repent and make him the Lord of our lives in the second coming or in the resurrection, we shall dwell in heaven for eternity. What a wonderful place to tell the Christmas story from two verses tonight. I didn't think I was going to preach that much tonight, but I thank you. Somebody, if not everybody in this room, leaned forward somewhere in this message, and I felt everybody listening. And I appreciate that. What a wonderful opportunity was to preach tonight to you guys. Man, well, I'll...